We open in our Bibles, Luke the 5th chapter. We will read verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And it was so great that the net broke. And so they began to beckon to their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, please speak this word to our hearts. Lord, we need something fresh from heaven. We need something to stir our souls, to wake us out of our apathy, that we will do what these fishermen did, and that is to obey the very word of God. Give us a hunger for your word. Lord, that which can change us and transform us into your image. And Lord, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage, there were some hungry people. They were hungry to hear the word of the Lord. And Luke 5:1 said, the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not just those who hunger and thirst, maybe for entertainment or something, but when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we shall be filled. Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. That's a promise, you shall be. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. You see, the people pressed upon him. The word pressed simply means to rest upon or to impose. They had to rest upon the Lord Jesus or trust him to teach them. He was their only hope to hear the word of God. And the word means to impose. This is the only place in Scripture that this particular word is used. And in our language, it could mean they stayed on him until he did as they requested. They didn't just make a simple request and go on. No, they were there. They said, Lord, we want to hear the word. Listen, please, we want to hear the word of God. And so they just stayed on him. You see, no one is helped until they have a need. But these people had a need, and they considered their need greater than any imposition that they may cause on another. Oh, if we could only come back to desiring, craving, wanting, desiring the word of God. You see, these people wanted God to teach his word to them. Now the Holy Spirit is teaching God's word to us. He is here this morning. And as we go through this message from the word of God, he will be speaking things to our hearts. You see, John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In that verse of Scripture, he's going to do three things. Number one, the Holy Spirit will guide us. Number two, he will speak to us. And number three, he will show us in the Word of God the things that we need to know, and he will show us future things. He will reveal prophecy to us. Now, these people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These people were earnest seekers. They were seeking truth. They were not seeking a handout or someone's opinion. Please deliver us. Listen, the people were not looking for a comedian or any other type of entertainment. They wanted truth. They wanted God's word. And we need his word so that we can learn of his worth. Truth builds us up in the faith. Truth builds character, and it builds God's principles within us. And we must learn to live by principle rather than by impulse. You see, in his prayer in John 17:8, Jesus said, "For I have given unto them thy words, which thou gavest me." I've given unto them thy word, so important. Jesus believed in word inspiration. He did not say, "I've given unto them the thoughts. I did not give unto them the ideas. I've given unto them the words which the Heavenly Father gave to him." And then he said, "They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me." When Jesus gave the words, the people first received them. You see, we can hear the word and never receive it, but we need to receive it into our hearts and lives. They have received them, and number two, they have known. You see, when they received the word, they knew from the word the truth about Jesus. And that's the reason people don't know who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's going to do, because they've never received the word of God. But if we will receive the word, then we will know the truth about Jesus. And then the third thing they did, they said, "They have believed that thou didst send me." Number one, they knew surely. Number, they have believed that thou didst send me. The greatest work in the world is giving God's word to others. We can be a witness of him through our lips, our life, our love, and through literature, but giving out the word of God. You see, effective preaching and teaching is presenting spiritual truth in simplicity so that those who hear may understand, believe, and be saved. Jesus preached on our level. Someone wiser than I said, preaching should be on the level of a 12-year-old. And I believe that. We need to put it down where all of us can receive it. Now, there were some hungry fishermen for the Word of God, and hungry people for the Word of God, but there were some idle ships. In verse 2 of our text says, "And saw two ships standing by the lake." Now, the ships represent the church to us. Standing means they were idle. Idleness is a foe to spirituality. And they were standing by the lake. These ships were standing idle by the place where the fish were. Isn't that amazing? You see, ships are safe in the harbor, but ships are not made for the harbor. And there were some discouraged fishermen. Verse 2 says, "But the fishermen were gone out of the ships and were washing their nets." Well, they've been fishing. Now they've come ashore, and they're washing their nets. See, fishermen speaks to us of saved people. The ships, the church, the fishermen, saved people. Now these were experienced fishermen. They could have written a book on fishing. They were experts, but they were gone out of their ships. They had deserted their mission, and they were washing their nets. In other words, they had given up. They had a setback, were disappointed, and they stopped fishing. A church without fishermen will never have people saved. The story is told of an elderly lady who was in a group touring Westminster Abbey in England. As the guides led them through the beautiful church, they were surrounded with the ornate monuments and made by skilled hands. All to the most of the people, it was just so breathtaking, beautiful inside by the Westminster Abbey. But this one little lady, being a little nervous and speaking louder than she intended to, said, "Tell me, has anyone been saved in this church lately?" And one of the guides responded, "Has anyone been saved in this church lately? My dear lady, have you not noticed the beautiful architecture? Have you no feeling for history? Why, being saved is for the Salvation Army, or maybe those dusty tent meetings. Well, this is a cathedral." But the question remained, and remains here today: has anyone been saved in this church lately? Now, there was an unusual request. Jesus, in verse 3, prayed to Peter, Simon Peter, that he would thrust out a little from the land. Get in the boat, just push out a little from the land. And so Jesus entered Simon Peter's ship. If we are available, he will enter our ship. The greatest ability is availability. Peter was there, and Jesus asked Peter to do an unexpected thing. Just thrust out a little from the land. Now, Jesus was causing discouraged people to become involved and active. He is teaching. He's leading them. Well, there is enough work in the church for everyone to be actively involved. Amen. Pastored one time at a place. They had a church bus, and there was sand. And everyone getting in the bus, they had sand in the bus. And it was so thick in the bus. No one ever bothered to clean the bus until one fella got a burden for that bus. And I would see him out there at night with a light and a broom, and he's cleaning the sand out of the bus. And he got that thing sparkling clean. And then he started driving the bus and would bring it and have it just full of children coming to church to hear the word of God. And if that wasn't enough, we didn't have any rooms, about like around here. And they started having children's church in the bus in the summertime and no air conditioning. But anyway, there's enough work in the church for everyone to be actively involved if we look for it. Now, Jesus sat down. He entered the ship, and then he sat down. Jesus assumed a relaxed position so that others would relax and hear the word of God. So don't be uptight about down here. Just relax and hear the word of God. Dismiss from your mind everything that would hinder you from hearing the word of God. Jesus sat down and taught the people. Before launching out into the deep, Jesus taught the people. And we need to be taught the word of God. And Jesus has given gifted men to the church to teach us the word of God. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he gave those gifted men to the church for the perfecting of the saints. That is, to bring us to Christian maturity. And for the work, not to be idle, but for the work. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is, to teach the whole counsel of God and bring us up in the faith. These gifted men are to teach us till all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Two things. They're to teach, and teaching will do this. It will bring unity in the church and knowledge of Him. Knowledge not of the denomination, but knowledge of the Son of God. Listen, there needs to be a turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ in our churches, because we get involved in everything trying to think that we're superior. Listen, He is superior, and the gifted men are to bring us to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. The perfect means a complete man, one of full age, grown, full grown in moral character and so on, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the word measure means a limited portion. If you will, please, it has to do with our load limit. You see, you can assume more knowledge of Christ than I can. But as much as in me is, that's how much we need, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ that will change us. Listen, all of these gifted men are to put the Word of God in us, so that we will be filled with Christ to our capacity. All filled or running over. That would make us sweet in the church. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus taught out of the ship. Now, I pushed out just a little from the shore, and He taught out of the church, out of the ship. The church is a good place to teach, but it's not the only place. You teach wherever you can. This beach was rather small, so the people sat on the mountainside, the grass, so they sat there, and the wind coming off of the sea acted as a PA system, and Jesus just sat there and taught the people. Jesus preached wherever He had an audience. You see, He preached to crowds, and He preached to individuals. He preached and taught in synagogues and temples. He preached on mountainside. He preached in houses. He preached in a desert place. He preached in a cemetery. And He preached out of the ship. Now, there was an unbelievable command. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Now, these fishermen were very tired. They had fished all night. They did not have any sleep. And I'm sure they had not eaten. But they just quit. They'd given up. But they were going to see the greatest thing in their life, a miracle that only God can do. So I would say, if you're tired, just stay with the Savior, because you may see something. Now, Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 4, Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out. He had pushed away a little ways from the shore, but now He said, get out in the deep. When you're there, let down your nets for a draught. Launch out, let down. I think that's what God wants us to do, just to get out there where it is and give what we got, what we have, what we know. It will help someone. Then Jesus took them out of the deep and showed them how it works. Oh, He taught them on the shore, but He didn't stay there. He said, now let's go out here and I'll show you how it works. See, the people heard a message from God, and then they saw Him do His work. Jesus taught by word and by example. Now, it is as we move out into the depths that we begin to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of the love and faithfulness of God. I want to tell you, we have to move out from the shore. I was thinking during the night. Phyllis and I haven't touched bottom for over 30 years, you know. All God has to do is withhold. Less than a month, we finished. We history. But they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. You see, to see the works of God, we must move away from the shore. But in the deep, we encounter storms. Storms that would sink our ship. But when Jesus is in the ship, when He is in life's boat, storms afford Him an opportunity to show Himself strong. Then he told them, said, let down your nets for a draught. I want you to notice what they did. See, every Christian has at least one net, one gift. And there is room for every Christian to serve. Years ago, I worked with a black preacher, and he taught me many things. And he told me, he said, Diffie, your gift will make room for you. And that's a scripture in the Bible. And we all have a gift, and that gift will make room for us. And it takes us, all of us, working in unity to do the work that God has designed for the church to accomplish. Now, they let down a net. There's partial obedience. But the one net broke. Partial obedience will not do the work of God. But then there was an honest confession. They fished all night. They haven't caught anything. They're tired. They're in the lake. They're refreshed now. Jesus is there. And Simon Peter, verse 5, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled, we've labored all the night, and have taken nothing. Master, we have toiled all the night. Now you're saying, put those nets out, but I won't say, Lord, we've been laboring all night and haven't caught anything. They had put all of their knowledge and experience into action, but they did not accomplish anything. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing other than they were working without Jesus and his word. They were doing the work alone. And they had taken nothing. You see, we need to labor. But labor alone will not accomplish the results God desires through us. The wisdom and power of God must be operating through our lives as we walk in the will of God. These fishermen were fishing without the blessings of God. And it's possible for a church to do all of the right things, believe all of the right things, and yet not have the blessings of God. I remember hearing the testimony from him personally, Dr. John R. Rice, and he said, when he was a young preacher, he would go out and preach, and he said it was hit and miss. He said, sometime I'd have some saved and sometime not. You'd have to have heard Dr. Rice. And he said, that sometime not. And he said, one day I was reading Romans 15:29, and it said, I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. God spoke it to his heart. He said, I learned that I didn't have to hit and miss, that I could hit every time. And that verse changed his life. You see, in God's work, human wisdom, human effort alone, and our ingenuity, personal plans, programs fail. But God never fails. So we listen to his word. Now, there was an immediate obedience. Verse 5. I want you to get this. This is an important truth in this message. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We fished all night. We haven't caught anything. Tell you the truth, I wish I was home now. But at thy word, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. Jesus told them to do two things. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, the scripture doesn't say that Peter understood the message. He did not understand the why of it. And when God leads you, probably you're not going to understand the why of it, or even the how of it. We don't have to know why or how. We have to be obedient at thy word. Amen. And Peter acted on the word of God. He had enough faith to try. The way to victory is faith, his word, and obedience to his word. Listen, it's not our toiling, but our trust that God honors. But let me hasten to say, when we truly trust, we will toil. We'll have more to do than we will ever get done. There is a work of faith and a labor of love. Then we see the words, I will. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Peter had fished all night and he was tired. His feelings said no. His knowledge said no. Everything in Peter says, no, don't do it. Lord, I've tried so many times and I've only failed. Now I do not know about the others. But at thy word, I'll cast the net. I'll let it down one more time, Lord, at your word. Sometimes churches become so discouraged. There's no point in trying. There's no need to continue on. But at thy word, we can say, at thy word, I will cast the net of my life into the sea of humanity and trust you for an unbelievable catch of souls. Who knows what the Lord will do? Just because something in the past did not go the way we thought it should does not mean that we're failures. We must not allow something in the past or even our successes to rob us of our present opportunities. They let down the net, and we can let down our net. Now, there was a miraculous catch. A miraculous catch. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Break. That's French for broke. No, but anyway, Dr. Harry Ironside was in Bible lands. And he learned that there is in the Sea of Galilee a fish called St. Peter's fish. So the fishermen were catching these fish, and Dr. Ironside asked, is this some of the fish that Peter caught? And the fisherman said, no, but these are children of the fish that Peter caught. Anyway, Dr. Ironside, a great expositor. Then there was an urgent invitation, their net break. And then they beckoned unto their partners, which were in other ships, that they should come and help them. Can you hear them hollering out? Can you see them making the motion? Come over and help. Come over and help us. And they came and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, that's a lot of fish. I tell you, that's a lot of scraping going on there. But both ships were filled, listen to it, because one man obeyed the word of God. Do not underestimate your influence. Peter said, nevertheless, regardless what these other fellows don't do, I will let down the net. At thy word, I'll do it. There was a life-changing discovery. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now notice, Peter was not a bad man. Not bad at all. He was not doing anything wrong. Why, he thought he had done everything that could be done, and probably did. But when Jesus moved on the scene, get it now, when Jesus moved on the scene in the same waters, in the same area, in the same boat, in the same church, and with the same net, the same sermon, the same class, the same witness, he caught fish. Isn't that great? There was a rewarding promise. Verse 10, Jesus said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, all of the fishing, catching these two boat loads of fish, was simply an object lesson, teaching Peter and us that when Jesus is in the boat, it can be done. And we learned, said, fear not, fear not. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not. From henceforth, from this time forward, see, there must be a point of beginning in our lives. We have to start someplace, sometime, and this is your point of beginning. He said, thou shalt catch men. That was a promise. He didn't say, you're just going to go try. You shall. You go. You're going to be a success. For the remainder of your lives, you will fish for souls and you will catch them. And Peter is still catching fish. Now, fishing for men is like the shepherd who leaves the 99 and seeks the one lost sheep. Fishing for men is like the woman who diligently searches for the lost coin. They search it out. It's like the father who eagerly receives the prodigal. Fishing for men is like the servant inviting to a special dinner the poor, the lame, the blind, and those in the highways and hedges. Fishing for men is a miraculous business. It takes a miraculous book. We have it. It takes a miraculous power. It's God's power. And with His power, we can expect results. It takes a miraculous death. Of course, the death of the Lord Jesus. But there must be the time when we die to self, to our plans, our purposes. Say, I'm going for God. We're brought to the end of ourselves, and we make a once-for-all commitment to God. That is death to self. That's missing in our churches. There was total surrender when Jesus told them what they would do. When they had brought their ships to land, they did two things. They forsook all and followed Him. Business relationships were severed. There were some goodbyes to family and friends. Their life is now His life, and His life is now their life. After salvation, most Christians never follow on to know the Lord. There is no commitment to Jesus Christ in the daily affairs of life. Jesus is not remembered and is not allowed to have any influence in the decisions of life. You see, a person can appreciate salvation and yet never appropriate God's power for strength to walk in His will. These men followed Him. Followed Him. We cannot live on past experiences. To be successful in our service to the Lord, there must be a daily walk with Him. He is our life. We follow Him and He becomes our life, our joy, and our strength. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. In verse 3, they loaned Jesus a ship. In verse 11, they left their ship and everything, their families, for Jesus. You let Jesus come in and He will give you purpose for life and purpose for eternity. There was growth in their lives. A personal encounter with the living Christ results in a deeper commitment to Him. Let me ask, is someone just sitting by empty boats, washing your net, wallowing in self-pity, gloating over past failures or victories, gloating over those past victories and accomplishments, loving those more than Christ? Is this church ready to take the waves of opposition that come from launching forth into the deep, the place of soul winning? Is this church ready to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that it may be protected from the heat that comes from the furnace of persecution? Is this church ready to abide in the secret place so that the sweetness of the Lord may be ours? Is this church ready to take refuge under the rock that's higher than I? The place of intimate fellowship, constant care, enduring strength, and divine encouragement. Is this church ready to receive the blessings of the Lord that result from a walk within the will of God? Personal desires must fade into insignificance. The life must be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We can make that surrender this morning in this place at His Word. Move out into the deep. Are you ready to receive Christ as your own personal Savior? Listen, but as many that includes you, has received him. Now that's simple, the simplicity of salvation. That's in reach of everyone. But as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power, privilege, authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let us stand with our heads bowed. Listen, salvation is in the reach of every person. God wants to save you now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, have your will and way in every heart and life. Help us Christians, Lord, to realize there is a need in this world, a need that we can have a part in meeting. Lord, let us know when we surrender all at thy word, you will do your work through us. There will be fish to be caught. Father, we sometimes tire of just trying to push on and fish all night and catch nothing. But Lord, at thy word, we'll do it one more time. We'll put the net over the side. We will depend on you and trust you for the result. Lord, may that become the desire of someone's heart here this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.